Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our meditation this morning is a portion of the epistle lesson read before in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, which read as follows. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord and Savior, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, which you heard read before in its entirety, is often grossly misunderstood by the casual and careless hearer. For as the Apostle Paul recounts in great length, one by one, the various trials, crosses, and afflictions which he suffered for the sake of the gospel, he seems, in fact, to be boasting of them, as if he himself were personally worthy of commendation, of admiration, and special esteem for being such a brave and such a patient sufferer for the Lord Jesus' sake. However, the Apostle Paul is not puffing up himself, as if he personally had anything at all whereof to boast. For he says with unmistakable clarity in verse 5 of this same chapter, just before our text, of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So, why does he mention all of these infirmities? Why does he go into such great detail with respect to all of them? He wants to point out to the Corinthians how much he endured. Not to secure gain for himself, but in order to bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't endure all of those things to seek praise for himself, but to render all the glory to God and his grace in Christ Jesus, to whom all the glory is due. He did this not to complain about all the crosses he had to bear, but to show the Corinthians and us the value of the Christian's afflictions. We will note from this text before us this morning that our afflictions, first of all, crush our fleshly pride and humble us before the Lord. And secondly, that our afflictions make us rely solely upon the Lord's grace, so that we endure our crosses cheerfully and patiently, relying only upon His strength for the ability to bear them. We read in our text, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. As we heard in the epistle lesson read before, Paul, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus, sent forth to bear witness particularly to the Gentiles concerning their Savior. He had been given the great privilege of receiving special direct revelations from the Lord. And although we Christians today are bound by the Lord to His written word, the Holy Scriptures, as our only authority and as the only revelation that we are to expect from Him, nevertheless, God in His infinite wisdom chose at this time to favor Paul especially with what he calls an abundance of special revelations. Not to mention, of course, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, who moved him to write his various epistles, to reveal many of these special revelations, and who put into his mind not only the thoughts which he expressed, but the very words which he wrote down. All of this could certainly have gone to Paul's head, as we sometimes use that expression, as if he somehow had been worthy of those special revelations, as if he deserved to have those revealed to him. For the Apostle Paul had the same old sinful flesh that you and I have, in which Paul admits himself dwelleth no good thing at all, Romans 7, verse 18. Indeed, the old Adam of sin loves to be complimented, delights in hearing words of personal praise from other people. And let's face it, the old Adam within us is a regular glory grabber if it is not held in check. Our flesh will soon enough toot its own horn and compliment itself if others aren't quick enough to do it for us. But the Lord didn't want Paul either to exalt himself by virtue of these special revelations or even because of his infirmities, and he didn't want him to take pride in having other people exalt him themselves. And so he permitted Satan to buffet Paul. That word buffet simply means to beat up on him, to torment him with some kind of physical affliction. What the nature of that thorn in the flesh was, we don't know exactly. And it doesn't really matter at all. But the reason why the Lord permitted the devil to buffet Paul, as he once buffeted Job of old, and we recall well what all he did to that faithful Christian, that reason is most important for us to understand. And it's made doubly clear in our text, where St. Paul says, twice in the same verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. This affliction, whatever it was intended to humble the Apostle Paul, to restrain his prideful flesh, and to direct him away from himself and from his own efforts in seeking relief from its torments. That thorn in the flesh surely accomplished the Lord's purpose in Paul, didn't it? For he recognized his own weakness, he recognized his own inability to deal with this thorn in the flesh and to overcome it. And so he cast his care upon the Lord, who he knew cared for him. And he prayed to the Lord to remove it. He prayed three times to the Lord to remove it. So sorely did it plague him. But each time he prayed to the Lord for relief, the Lord answered his prayer, as he surely answers every proper Christian prayer. He answered his prayer in his own way, by letting that cross, that trial, that thorn in the flesh, lie on him just as heavy as before. To keep on reminding him of his personal unworthiness before God, and to keep him truly humble, totally reliant upon the Lord's mercy, his undeserved kindness to a sinner like himself. Now, the children of this world simply can't grasp this. They say, why in the world would God allow such a grievous affliction to remain upon his prize apostle, the Apostle Paul, if he really loved him? Why would he do that? The children of this world, my dearly beloved hearers, have no heavenly Father who loves them, who cares for them, who keeps them from harm and danger, who promises never to allow them to be tried or tempted above that they are able to bear. They don't believe in Jesus as their Savior, which is, of course, that faith which makes a person a child of God. And that's why they do not understand the nature of the Christian's afflictions and its benefits to him. So the Lord deals also with us. To crush our sinful pride and arrogance, to hold us in check, and to drive us to him alone for help in every trouble. And this he does not to harm us, not to torture us like some kind of sadist, but to purify us and to strengthen us because he dearly loves us. We've been studying this also in Bible class lately in Proverbs. And the writer to the Hebrews paraphrases the Proverbs and says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The word really means scourging, whipping. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he does this for the good, for the benefit, to train them in patience and in holiness of living. And he's, the writer to the Hebrews says in that epistle, what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If you really have a child whom you love, why would you not want to train him in patience and in holiness? God deals with us as with sons, as with his adopted children in Christ Jesus, whom he wants to train up in Christian patience. So that's the first purpose for the Christian's afflictions. The second purpose, as we see from the Lord's own words to Paul here in our text, is clearly evident from the manner in which the Lord answers the apostle's prayer. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Not the removal of the thorn in the flesh, but my grace should be and is enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord deliberately chose not to remove that cross from the Apostle Paul, even though he was repeatedly begged to do so. Again, something the children of this world simply do not understand. In our sin-blinded reason, we might ourselves consider this a cruel rebuff, something that we as fathers would never do to our children. That maybe it was a cold slap in the face to the Apostle Paul for some reason. A slap in the face to a pleading child. But we know that the Lord doesn't deal with his children in a merciless and heartless manner. On the contrary, in Christ Jesus our Savior, God is perfectly loving, perfectly kind, perfectly merciful, and perfectly gracious to us undeserving sinners, as a loving Father. In fact, he promises that he will never permit us to be tempted, as I mentioned before, above that we are able to bear our afflictions, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. The Lord never chases us down a blind alley. The Lord never puts us in a catch-22 situation. The Lord never, ever drives us to despair or tempts us to doubt his loving wisdom. And right here in our text, the Lord shows us by his dealings with the Apostle Paul the very best way to get relief from all of our afflictions and chastisements, namely by relying upon his wondrous, all-sufficient grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, he tells both Paul and us. His grace, that wondrous gift of God, is plenteous as far as relief is concerned. It gives us plenteous comfort. It gives us plenteous assurance of his love toward us, because it is by his grace alone that we are his children in the first place. Let's never forget that. And it's only by his grace that we can overcome our old wicked flesh. It is only by his grace that we can overcome the sins that so easily beset us and walk ever better in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we do that not to merit his grace, but to thank him for his unmerited grace. Is it any wonder then, my dearly beloved hearers, that the Lord bestows also upon us the very same grace that he bestowed upon the Apostle Paul, to help us bear our infirmities, to enable us cheerfully to take up our crosses, and to carry them patiently after the Savior? That's what the Lord wants us to do in evidence of our faith in him. You see, brethren, by the Lord's precious grace, he bestows upon us all of his blessings. All of his blessings are gracious blessings, for we are worthy of none of the things for which we pray, neither have we deserved them. We want him to grant them all to us, by grace. For we daily sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Only when we are weak and can we truly appreciate His grace. You see, when we imagine ourselves to be strong, everything seems to be going right for us in our lives, then the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and His strength is often far from our thinking, far from our minds, because that's when the flesh trusts itself. That's when the flesh relies upon itself and its own strength to deal with adversities as they come along. And we hear ourselves sometimes saying, as the worldly people round about us say, I've got this handled. Don't worry, I've got this. I can take care of it. And the Lord has to remind us, who is He that is calling the shots in our life? As He had to remind the ungrateful Corinthians in our text, to whom these words were originally written. But you see, the Lord loved us and loves us so much that He doesn't want us to lounge around spiritually complacent in carnal security as prey for the old evil foe. For spurning and despising the grace of God that bringeth salvation is exactly what Satan wants us to do. And so the Lord strips us of our ability to help ourselves sometimes. He weakens us of our own imagined strength so that we realize how utterly helpless we are in His sight. And so He sometimes lays upon us an affliction or a chastisement so painful, so excruciating, so frustrating, either in its physical or emotional trauma, that we literally scream out for help like that woman of Canaan. Lord, help me. I'm at my wit's end. I can't do anything to help myself. His strength is made perfect in weakness. For when we are at our lowest ebb, His wondrous grace, great and free, is all sufficient to sustain us. Even if He chooses, for reasons known only to Himself, not to remove our cup of suffering from us at all, but rather to ask us to drink it to its dregs. He wants us to reach out with the beggar's hand of faith and to cling to Him. As a sailor in a tossing sea reaches out to grasp a life ring that is thrown to him. There's nothing else to grab onto except the fin of a passing shark. And so the sailor says, this is my one opportunity to rely on somebody other than myself for salvation. And God promises every individual believer. And notice the singular forms of the pronouns in these verses. He says, I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. This isn't just some blanket comfort or assurance. This is said to you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That means you. And you can count on that. And then what wonderful assurance those gracious promises of the Lord work in the Christian's troubled heart. What confidence in his grace and in his strength to bear whatever trials he lays upon us. For the apostle concludes with these wonderful words, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." I'm happy to have all of these infirmities to bear. They bring me joy. They bring me gladness. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is indeed the peaceable fruit of righteousness that flows from the Lord's never-failing grace in Christ Jesus. Remember those words in Hebrews chapter 12. As we suffer these chastisements, relying upon the Lord's loving grace in Christ Jesus our Savior, they work the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Exercised, trained by his loving chastisement. For the Lord's grace doesn't enable us merely to tolerate our infirmities, grudgingly to put up with afflictions, or even to bear our crosses with never-ceasing moans and sighs like the children of Israel in the wilderness, who only murmured and complained at every turn. While we never know exactly the outcome of our afflictions here in this life, what they will be for us, how God will turn them into blessings for us, one thing we know for sure, as the Lord's precious word assures us black and white. We know. We don't just guess. We know that all things, good, bad, or in between, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Called to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Called to the knowledge of salvation in Christ Jesus our Savior. Called to the knowledge of the love of our Heavenly Father in his Son. Therefore, my dearly beloved hearers, when nagging questions, vexing problems, bitter disappointments, catastrophic illnesses even, economic nightmares, and even the persecution of the wicked, when they plague you day by day, as the messengers of Satan to buffet you, don't be discouraged. Review day by day this precious epistle text before us this morning, and be reminded thereby of the gracious promises that he has in mind, purposes he has in mind for you when he loads all of those trials and tribulations upon your shoulders. Let his grace not only be sufficient for you, in whose weakness his strength will surely be made perfect, but let his grace rule in your heart by faith in him. So that come what may in this life, it doesn't even matter. The heathen go to psychics to try to find it out in advance. It doesn't matter. You can cheerfully and confidently place all of your cares and concerns for the present as well as for the future into the gracious hands of him who the Bible says is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that the Apostle Paul asked for or even thought about when he prayed the Lord to remove that cross from him. Who spared not his own son, but lovingly delivered him up for us all to be our substitute, to be the propitiation, the perfect satisfaction of God's justice for our salvation, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. How shall he not, with him, with our dear Savior, also freely give us all things? All things. Promises, relief, strength, cheer, gladness of heart, joy in our salvation. To him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, world without end. And so in that spirit we sing with the hymn writer, be patient and await his leisure, await his good time, in cheerful hope, with heart content to take whate'er thy Father's pleasure and his discerning love hath sent. Nor doubt, our inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. Yea, do thine own part faithfully, and trust his word. Though undeserving, thou yet shalt find it true for thee, personally, God never will forsake in need the soul that trusts in him. Indeed. Amen. And the peace of God, which certainly passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through confidence in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.